Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. One of the most important news of the week has been Trump's doubling down on what we can only consider an insane approach to trade, his insane trade policy. Tariffs, blockades, restrictions on imports, all the things that, well, certainly that libertarians stand against, but there are areas that people worry about. You know, they worry. You say, well, listen, if there are higher tariffs on imported goods, isn't that going to be better for America? Because it sounds like it would be, right? It sounds like if we have huge steel tariffs, it's going to be good for Americans, because now American factories can make American steel. If we put huge import tariffs on, you know, other things, wool, computers, doesn't matter. It sounds like it's going to be good for America. It sounds like it would be, but the problem is, it's not really how it works. When you add price, when you add cost to your imports, it means that anything that uses those imports has to pay more. For example, if we put a tariff on steel, any company using steel is going to have to pay more for steel. Anytime you buy something that contains steel, you're going to have to pay more for it. One of the sharpest lessons learned, one of the sharpest unlearned lessons that I've seen personally in this area has been in Argentina and Brazil. Argentina and Brazil are not Venezuela. But if Venezuela wasn't Venezuela, they would be. Their economies have been in a currency free fall. Unemployment is skyrocketing. One corruption scandal after another is rocking the nations. And one of the truly stupidest things that Argentina and Brazil have actually both done is they've made it harder for their companies to compete. They've made it harder for Argentine companies to compete with American companies. Brazil has made it harder for Brazilian companies to compete with American companies. Argentina has damaged Argentine businesses. Brazil has damaged Brazilian businesses. And the way in which they've done this is they've made it more expensive for their businesses to compete. One of the truly strange ways in which they've done this is they've done this with computers. They have huge and heavy taxes on computers, with the argument that goes something like, you know, computers are unnecessary or a luxury good or whatever. The result has been that any computer you see in Argentina and Brazil is usually old, 10, 15 years outdated. And that means that any industry that relies on computers, which is basically every single industry that exists in Argentina and Brazil, is 10 or 15 years behind its competitors. The reason that American businesses can so easily dominate Argentina and Brazil's businesses is not because Americans are so terribly hardworking or they're so much harder working than the people in Argentina and Brazil. Americans are about as lazy as anybody. The difference is we're lazy with technology that can make up for our laziness. Our computers are powerful enough to compete. Now, computers are one important component of a business, but they're not the only important component of a business. If your business is going to be inside of a building, then steel is going to be important for your business because the building supports are going to be made out of steel, or at least one would hope. If you're planning to wear clothes for business, then clothing is also important for business. If you're not going to do your business completely naked, then clothing also becomes important. And if you make it more expensive to get these basic necessities, that's going to make your business less able to compete. If American businesses are paying more for their costs, then they are not going to be able to compete with their foreign competition. And I know that there are people who are going to say, well, what if we just block out all foreign goods? First, that idea is literally going to be, it would literally cripple our economy. If we start keeping foreign goods out, let's just actually think through how stupid an idea that is. You know who produces oil? America. You know who else produces oil? A lot of other countries. If we block all foreign oil from America, then we know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be spending our entire salary at the gas pump. If we say no more foreign oil, you're not allowed to buy foreign oil, or we're going to put a 50,000% tariff on foreign oil, then gas is going to be $35 a gallon. And you're going to end up spending all of your money on gas. You're not going to be spending your money on innovation or education or computers or anything. You're just going to spend all of your money on gas. Or maybe you're going to say, you know what? It's not worth going to work. I'm just going to survive or be a subsistence farmer or just be a criminal because it is just not worth going to work because of the huge gas costs. Now, think about what that would have done to your life. If you spent all your money on gas, not on food, not on exercise, not on education, not on a way to make yourself better, not a way to, on a way if you're an entrepreneur, on how to make your business better, that would not make America great again. That would make America really, 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 really bad. That, with oil, we can see how stupid it is. It's just as stupid with steel. It's just as stupid with computers. It is just as stupid to make companies spend all their money on steel rather than on innovations or better computers or new technology or automation or robotics or education or something to say, no, 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 you need to spend it all on steel. You need to spend all that money you have on steel. That's not going to be good for the American economy. That's not going to be good for the diversity of our economy. It's not going to be good for innovation. You can't have any innovation if you're spending all your money on inflated prices. And it's not just steel. It could be anything. Imagine if light bulbs, all the light bulbs in your house, instead of costing, you know, depending on your type of light bulb, somewhere between 50 cents and $10, imagine it cost $25,000. You would have one light bulb. You'd be working in the dark half the time. And you realistically would not be engaging in any kind of intelligent innovation of any kind after about, you know, 5 or 6 p.m. That's what happens when you drive up the price. Now, driving up the price of foreign steel is good for American steel companies and is good for the lobbyists that those companies hire and is good for the politicians that they pay for, but it's not good for anyone else. If you want to see an example of a truly stupid tariff, you can look at the sugar tariff. The sugar tariff drives up the price of sugar. It's good. The only Americans that it's good for is the very small percentage of Americans that are sugar farmers. I'm going to say that's less than 0.1%. It is bad for 99.99% or more Americans. The result is not just that we pay more for sugar. The result is that companies now start looking for inferior substitutes. They start looking for less good replacements for sugar that cost a bit less. Most common, high fructose corn syrup. That poisonous stuff they put in all of our food, the reason they use that instead of sugar is because the government has made sugar more expensive than it needs to be. Naturally, sugar is actually cheaper than high fructose corn syrup. That's why when you go to Mexico, which is a less rich country than America, they use sugar. They don't use sugar because they're nice. They use sugar because it's actually cheaper. Sugar is cheaper than corn syrup because it doesn't need to be processed through as many chemical – it doesn't have to go through as much chemical processing as sugar does. So it costs less. So corn syrup costs more unless you artificially inflate the price of sugar. That's bad for everyone. It's bad for you. It's bad for me. It's bad for everyone. But it's good for like the two sugar farmers in the country. Now, here's the thing. If something should be made out of steel, you know what I want it to be made out of? Steel. Usually, if something's made out of steel, there's a pretty good reason for it to be made out of steel. Strength being a big one. Safety being another one. And I don't want to figure or see what kind of inferior substitute companies come up with. Because they will. Of course they will. If you make steel unaffordable, they'll use something else. And you know what? One in every 100 times that something else is better, but most of the time that something else is worse. Most of the time we start out with sugar, government gets involved, we get high fructose corn syrup. We're building so many things with steel because it's cheap and affordable right now. Government steps in. What are they going to use instead? I don't want to be in the building that finds that out. I don't want to be in the building that instead of having to be hit by a jet plane to not be knocked down like the World Trade Centers, has to be hit by a hand power like a remote controlled drone that some kid is playing with. I don't want to be in that building. I don't want to be in that garbage. I don't want to be to American companies to be using inferior materials because our ill-considered policies are inflating the price of steel. It's bad for everyone. If you are not a crony capitalist steel manufacturer, it is bad for you. Even if you're saying, well, I work at a steel plant, you know what? If you, the jobs that are being created by steel plants are coming at like a 10-to-1 cost. We're disappearing more jobs than are being created. And all the people who are working at those other plants that are not producing steel, you know what they could do? Produce steel. You know who's coming for your job if you're working at a steel plant? All of those people. Not Mexicans. All those Americans that are out of work because their companies can't afford to pay these ridiculous steel rates. That's what's happening right now. And whether it's your job that's going to be crumbling or whether the building that you're standing in is going to be crumbling because they're not using steel in it, a steel tariff is a dangerous idea. It is an insanely reckless idea. It is an economically unsound idea. It's an idea that it's absolutely should be turned around. And that's why we need a libertarian president in 2020. In 2020, I don't want to hear any of this, well, Trump is anti-establishment. You can be anti-establishment and still make bad ideas and still have bad ideas and make bad decisions. It's not good enough to be anti-establishment. You have to do something that makes some damn sense. Not cripple the economy or literally cripple buildings with a poorly planned tariff. Free trade lowers costs so people can innovate more, so they have more money to spend on something not stupid. That's what free trade does. And that's what this kind of tariff is stopping. We've seen other countries do this. We've seen them go down that road. We've seen what happens every time. It's an embarrassment. And I know that now Trump is best friends with Kim Jong-un or something like that and wants to try some socialism, but I don't want to live in North Korea. I don't want to live in a place that's backwards. I want to live in a place with free trade, open exchange of ideas, and affordable inputs so that we can innovate and come up with better things. If you want to join the fight, go to lp.org. Right now you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Have you found the beauty inside of you? Join Bonnie Bonadeo each week for Beauty Inside and Out. We'll explain how beauty plays a part in everybody's lives. Our guests are makeup artists, hairdressers, and doctors. But we'll also feature holistic and wellness specialists and spiritual advisors. You can find that beauty inside and express it to its fullest on the outside. Tune in to Beauty Inside and Out every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
What's your coffee story? The one that defines who you truly are in a relaxing setting. It's where you share your memories, plan for the future, and talk about the now. My Favorite Coffee Story is here with host Aniko Somogyi. We invite you to listen in and share your coffee stories too. Bring your friends or just stop by as we talk about coffee and the inspiring stories that touch our lives every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. Tariffs are a bad idea. Import quotas are maybe a worse idea. There's nothing that does more damage to our economy than keeping the things that we need out of our country. I've spoken at many places. I've attended rallies. I've attended events. I've attended all kinds of conferences that talk about lifting various trade embargoes. They're saying, listen, it's wrong to punish the Iraqi people with these trade sanctions. Let's get rid of these trade sanctions. People have said it's wrong to punish North Korean people. Let's get rid of the trade sanctions. And I agree. It's wrong. I'm completely am opposed to trade sanctions. And I'm completely opposed to embargoes. And I'm completely opposed to all of that. Just as I am opposed to violence. I think that violence against someone else is, unless it is a response, unless it is the only response, I think that violence against someone else is wrong. If somebody does violence against you and you can have a nonviolent response that'll stop them, I say use the nonviolent response. And that's something that comes from the culture of martial arts. It comes from libertarian culture. It comes from anarcho-capitalist culture. The strong belief that violence is wrong. Violence against someone else is wrong, but violence against yourself is just stupid. It is stupid to punch yourself in the face. It's wrong to punch someone else in the face. It's just dumb to punch yourself in the face. And I think trade sanctions against other countries are morally wrong, but I think putting a trade sanction against yourself is just plain stupid. And that is exactly what these import tariffs and quotas and restrictions and all that. Those are trade embargoes against the American people. We have literally embargoed ourselves. I don't know if it's morally wrong, but I do know it's really, really, really dumb. One of the dumbest trade embargoes that I've seen outside of the United States has been the tariffs against computers that Brazil and Argentina have inflicted upon themselves. The only thing that I've ever seen stupider than that has been in the United States, where they found the one thing. They said, well, look, Argentina and Brazil, these guys are so stupid that they've kept out the most important thing you need for business success in the modern era. But that's not fair. We can't let them be the stupidest. We're America. We need to show them we can be even dumber. So we found the one thing on earth. The one thing on earth, we found the one thing that is more important to business success. There's only one thing that we found, that one thing that's more important to business success than computers, and we're saying, let's keep that out. Argentina and Brazil, they set the bar real high for being stupid, but we're going to be even dumber. And we're going to keep out skilled, highly trained labor. We're going to keep out the best and brightest. We're going to keep out the people who are going to make American businesses successful. We're going to keep out the engineers, the computer programmers, and the doctors. We're going to keep them out because we are going to cripple our economy even more. Argentina and Brazil, you guys have it pretty dumb, but we can do dumber. That's what America said. And today, of the various unbelievably stupid trade sanctions that we have, is we have put a cap on skilled labor. We've limited the number of highly skilled technical workers, the people who make your business succeed. Now, if you have a job of any kind, not even if you don't work inside of tech, there's probably somebody who works inside of tech that makes your business succeed. And if he was better, your business would succeed better. And if he was worse, your business would succeed worse. That's what we're keeping out. A computer is a powerful tool, but it's not as important as the computer operator. And we're keeping out the computer programmers. In the single stupidest decision ever made by any country in all of human history. I was a kid during the Cold War. And during the Cold War, honestly, there are some things that made some sense. Russians would try to kidnap scientists because they knew how important scientists were for the arms race against the U.S. The U.S. would try to kidnap them right back, and I got that. I didn't think it was great to be treating, you know, people like livestock. I also don't think it's good to steal somebody else's livestock, but I at least understood the motivation. This guy knows a lot about technical stuff. Let's steal him. The other side says, no, no, no. He knows a lot about technical stuff. We're going to steal him. Morally wrong, but I get the idea. Today, we're doing things in reverse. We're saying that guy knows a lot of stuff. He could make our businesses thrive. Keep him out. That's the literal American policy right now. It's gotten so absurd that American presidents, Congress, has been more willing to let in refugees than highly skilled labor. Now, I'm not saying don't let in the refugees. Yeah, of course, let in as many refugees as you want. But, I mean, you don't let in all the refugees and keep out the skilled labor. That doesn't make any sense at all. That's the most valuable people, the most valuable input for any successful business. That's the smart workers. If it's not for the smart workers, the not smart workers don't get jobs. If it's not for the smart guys, the dumb guys don't get jobs. The medium guys don't get jobs. If it's not for the hardcore tech staff, the rest of us can't do anything. I want you to think about all the technology you rely on right now. If it stopped working, how fun would that be? If it worked a lot better, how much more fun would that be? That's what we're keeping out. Putting an embargo on another country is wrong. Putting an embargo on yourself is stupid, but putting an embargo and keeping out skilled workers, that doesn't make any sense at all. These are the people that during the Cold War countries would try to kidnap because they understood how valuable they were. I assume that people still understand, actually, let me say, I'm not going to assume anything. People should understand that skilled workers are the most important part of any enterprise. Not just private businesses. Honestly, it's true for if you're trying to do something with the government, some stupid nonsense, if you want somebody to do your stupid drug war well, it'll probably be good if he's smart. Now, if he's too smart, he might not want to do it at all. But any enterprise benefits when you have smart people doing it. Any enterprise. And all supporting enterprises benefit too. There's more to it. There's a little bit more. The fact is, right now, many companies are already hiring workers from overseas. Computer skilled programmers, all that kind of stuff. The problem is they're staying overseas, not because they want to, because the government, in its enduring wisdom, has decided to keep them in other countries. And when that computer programmer comes home with that big fat paycheck, does he go and spend it at your restaurant or the restaurant that you work at? Does he spend it at your car dealership or the dealership that you work at? Does he spend it at the business that you work at? Not really. He wants to. If you work in car sales, he wants to come to your business and he wants to buy a car from you and give you that big fat commission. That's what he wants to do, but he can't. So he's going to buy that car from someone in India or China or Vietnam or Germany or somewhere else, but not here. Not because he doesn't want to, because your government has kept him out. Your government has literally blockaded you from your customers. That customer's trying to walk right up to your door, and the government's saying, no, 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 no. you should not buy American. We don't want people buying American products today. That's what they're doing. They are preventing millions of computer programmers, engineers, doctors, scientists. They're preventing them from buying from you. Whatever your business is, wherever you work, whether you work in fast food or medicine or whatever, that's who they're keeping away. Now, I know there's some folks out there who are saying, well, listen, I don't want to serve any immigrants. Fine, don't. The rest of us do. I care more about money than your stupid xenophobia. I want more customers. I want more money so I can buy more things. I think more people are going to agree with that than I agree with the we need to keep them out because they look different or whatever. And the sad thing is people don't even realize people are kept out from every country. We're keeping out the best and brightest, not just from Asia, also from Europe, also from Africa, also from South America. If you're smart and hardworking and could contribute to an American business or be a great American customer, the government is working to keep you out. In times of war, we try to keep needed goods, needed people, brilliant minds away from our enemies. That's why we kept the German rocket scientists away from the Russians. In times of peace, we're doing to ourselves what we would do to our enemy in times of war. We're keeping doctors out of America. People say, oh my God, there's a shortage of doctors in rural areas. That's true. There's also a big long line of doctors waiting to come into America and the government saying no. People say we need more fiber optics and cellular technology and internet in rural areas. I agree, we do. But the people who can do that, you know, the experts at that, the government's keeping them out. The government is keeping out the smart people and all the smart things that they can do for us with their just nonsensical laws. We are treating ourselves in this time of peace, and relative peace, I should say, we're treating ourselves worse than we would treat our enemies in a time of war. Because even in a time of war, we don't keep doctors out of other countries. We only keep doctors out of the United States of America. We let them go anywhere else, just not here. And that needs to stop. And if you want to make that stop, you need to get to lp.org. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Where are you getting your advice on buying, selling, or maintaining your most important asset, your home? Is it from a reality show on cable TV, a comparison website, or are you just flying by the seat of your pants and gut instinct? Stop now before you make another move. Tune into Real Estate Today with host and realtor Deb Tomorrow. You can't afford to play guesswork when it comes to your new or existing home. Listen every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety. Fire can destroy your home, your business, and your life in seconds. On Speaking of Fire, with co-hosts Mike Schlattman and Donna Ingram, we investigate fire, the origin and causes, and provide important information to prevent accidental fires and save your life, loved ones, and your property. We speak to experts about technology, investigative research, and insurance issues with regard to fire. Tune in Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel. The Voice America Live Events Channel is here now to showcase your corporate, individual, or organization's live event. Visit voiceamerica.com/live events to see all of our past live events and find out more. Whether it's a multi-day conference, special speaker, or single-day event, we've got everything to make your event a success. We can do a few hours or a few days. For more information about taking your event to the next level, call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or email info@voiceamerica.com. Again, that's Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or send us an email to info@voiceamerica.com. Voice America is where you are and where you want to be. Join us around the globe as we broadcast live from some of the most interesting events available. Don't forget to view all our live events, including on-demand access to past events that you may have missed by visiting voiceamerica.com/live events.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
A few days ago, there was a little social media heat on one of my comments. I basically said that of the many, many immoral, damaging, and harmful things that the U.S. military does overseas, by far the worst thing that they do is set up American-style, quote, schools to dumb down the education of their countries. And people got a little upset saying that there are worse things that the military does. And in a sense, it's true. When it comes to, you know, obviously it was a tongue-in-cheek comment. When it comes to what the military does to individuals, yeah, the worst thing that they do is they slice them in half with machine guns. That's the worst that they do. They maim and torture them in a way that leads to a slow and agonizing death over a few days or a few weeks. To civilians. So, yes, the military does do things to individuals that is worse than their than trying to spread useless, worthless government-style education to other countries. However, we can look no farther than right here at home to see if the U.S. government wants to really destroy a people. They don't use weapons. They use government schools. And we can see the tragedy of what's happened to Native American communities and understand that a lot of that had to do with trying to replace their real culture with this nonsense culture forced through these westernized style schools. They didn't want to kill individuals. They could do that with guns. They wanted to destroy the culture. And you know what they did? They destroyed the culture with what? American style government schools. Now, the damage for Native American communities has been essentially irreparable. It's completely erased many languages. It's completely erased many traditions in this desire to homogenize education for everyone. And the thing with education is homogenizing education is a tool of weakening a culture. Economies, much like ecosystems, thrive on diversity. Let's say you killed all the plants except for one type of plant and all the animals except for one type of animal. You know what you would have? A disaster. You'd have an ecological collapse. Diversity is so important for the resilience of a system, for the adaptability of a system. And when you give everyone the exact same type of education, and in addition to being the same, it's also usually a very bad one, you remove that diversity and resilience. Instead of having specialization that Adam Smith talked about, you have everyone getting the same skill in theory, or in reality, with American public schools, everyone getting no skill at all. John Taylor Gatto, who used to work, by the way, at a government school, was a teacher of the year in New York. He felt that being part of that system was so wrong that he left. He got the Teacher of the Year award and he left. And now he talks about free market education. He's known to, one of his most famous quotes basically says that public school is a 12-year sentence, a 12-year prison sentence, in which bad habits are the only curriculum truly learned. What bad habits? I'm not just talking about the toxic and social environment, although that certainly doesn't help. But I'm talking about the worst habit in education, which is to think that education is just obedience. That education begins with someone telling you what to do. It's taking the exploration and the self-drive out of education and replacing it with this just sullen, broken down, you know, undesiring obedience. That's the goal of this education system. And fortunately, it's not even achieving that well. There's no academic value to the kind of education that public schools have. None. Why? Because you can get something better on the internet for free. So you're going out of your house to school to get a worse education than what's free. That's like if your parents were gourmet chefs, or if there's just gourmet food falling off trees all around you. And then you chose to go to some rat nasty place like McDonald's and get some toxic mix of garbage that they pretended was food. And today we're sending people to government schools to get a toxic mix of obedience training and idiocy and pretending that's education. It's not. It's nothing could be further from education than what you get in government schools. The damage of that kind of education system, it does not damage an individual as much as machine gun fire. That's true. Because you kill somebody, they're dead, and you know, you can't recover from that. You can recover from government schooling. I've met many people who have, and they talk about how the transition from going from being this like just like beaten down cog in a machine to someone who's creative and independent and willing to learn independently, willing to learn on their own. And it's often a very moving experience to hear stories like that. It certainly is for me as an educator. But if you want to destroy a culture, you do it by destroying their education, by replacing their own education with your version of it. And I know a lot of people say, well, all these communities don't have schools. Yeah, they don't have big, giant prison-style buildings where they teach lobbyist-induced nonsense, but it doesn't mean they have no education. They know how to do things. People in America forgot that education is actually about learning how to do things. That's the point of it. And yes, you build some abstract reasoning skills that have some universal type applications. But right now, we are a country where a lot of people don't know how to do things. We have no business telling somebody else how to educate their kids. It's not that our culture is so wonderful. We're in cultural decay right now. Yeah, the arts are thriving. But in terms of individual culture, it's not great. And many of the traditional societies that we mock have a lot of way, and in many ways, their culture is stronger, it's more effective, it's better than what we have over here right now. Not in every single way, but in some ways. These schools that they're building are just propaganda tools to say that this westernized way is the right way to do education. And we did it to the American Indians, to the Native Americans, and it destroyed them. And right now, not content with destroying our enemies with this very powerful weapon, just as we've done with the embargoes and tariffs, we've turned the weapons right around on ourselves. We're using these type of government school propaganda systems against ourselves. And if it wasn't for the fact that the U.S. government so frequently does things that are, you know, what would be acts of war in a war against the American people, if it wasn't for the fact that it's done so often, it would be surprising. It is surprising that the U.S. government has literally created a tool of propaganda and obedience training to use as a weapon against its ourselves. Our own government is using it against ourselves. I mean, hell, I don't agree with propaganda, but at least use it on the other guy. I don't agree with dumbing people down, but if you must dumb somebody down, dumb down your enemies, not your own people. I mean, I don't agree with trade sanctions, but if you're going to do it, don't do it to yourself. I mean, that's just plain silly. Now, here's the thing. We can stop that. And we can say things very simple. We can just say it very, very simply. The military should be used for defense only. End of story. Not for building schools. Not for permanent occupations. Not for defending Albania from some other country, but for defending America from outside threats. That's it. If somebody does not threaten America, the military should do absolutely nothing. We should leave NATO. I know people say, like, oh my God, how could we? NATO's a Cold War relic. The Cold War's over. We won. Mission accomplished. Those are the two words that seem just impossible for the modern American military to say. Mission accomplished. Is it that hard? Everywhere else on Earth, people are dying to put those two words together, but the U.S. military can't seem to get their mouth around it. They can't seem to say mission and accomplished. Because in fairness, some of their missions are stupid, but sometimes they do accomplish them. The mission to Iraq and Afghanistan was to kill Osama bin Laden. I thought it was a stupid way to kill one guy. I thought it'd be better to just, you know, hire assassins or just put a huge bounty on his head. That's what I would have recommended. But they accomplished the mission. It was a stupid setup. It was unstrategic and expensive as hell, but at least it worked. Mission accomplished. Now come home. Why are you still there? You finished. You did it. Good job. Congratulations. But we still have bases in Germany. That was 70 years ago. Or in Korea? The Korean War, when was that? 1950-something? NATO's mission has been accomplished. The mission was to defeat Russia in the Cold War. And you know what? It worked. Good job, guys. I would have done it differently. Fine. Let's not quibble about the past. Let's move forward. You did it. You achieved the victory. Now, can you please come home? We'll throw you a big, huge parade. Hell, I'll be in the parade. I'll donate to the parade. Come on home. You'll get a parade. I'm going to put good job, mission accomplished all over everywhere. And then can you stay here and only do what's actually necessary? You accomplished the mission. It's done. Osama bin Laden is dead. Hitler is dead. The Korean War is over. World War II is over. We don't need all these bases anymore. We have floating fortresses of aircraft carriers if we ever need something like that, and we don't. We won. We don't need to keep fighting. It's like the person who's sitting at a restaurant, eats everything on his plate, and just keeps eating. There's nothing to eat. Go home. If you want to bring the troops home so they can stop being part of, I don't even know how to describe, I don't know the word for when you keep doing the mission after you've already finished the mission. There's no word for that in any language, because there's never needed to be a word, because no one in their right mind or in their wrong mind would ever keep on doing a mission after they did the mission. If you want to help put a stop to that, and we need all the help we can get to put a stop to that, please, please, please come to lp.org. We're waiting for you to fight a fight that makes some sense. You can get involved in the campaign. You can get involved in social media. You can get involved in traditional media. Bring whatever special skills you have. Let's make it happen. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation. hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. Let's talk a little bit about one of the most pressing issues right now in American culture, and that is the existence of government schools. Many of you have seen Tom Wood's latest post, "Public schooling is the religion, is the American religion. Are you a heretic?" And that's announcing his book, "Education Without the State." I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. There are so many more heretics than you realize. And the reason you don't hear from them is for the same reason you usually don't hear from heretics. They're afraid. There is an interesting, I don't know how to put it, design flaw in the human species. We are tribal. We're a tribal species. We're pack animals, like wolves, or dogs for that matter. And among wolves, the most important thing to have for survival is the acceptance of the pack. If a wolf is not accepted by the pack, then he's a lone wolf. And I know that, you know, the mythology of the lone wolf is that the lone wolf is real cool and badass and everything. But the reality is, actually in the wild, a lone wolf is basically a wolf that is soon going to be dead. Wolves depend on the pack. And humans, for most of our history, you know, for many, many thousands of years, also depended on a pack. And so we have an impulse to always, no matter what, not get rejected from the dominant tribe. We want to be part of the tribe. The tribe is safety. And so even though, libertarians, we know that government schools are, if not wrong, they're at least not libertarian, we'll often pretend like there's some type of libertarianism that somehow allows government schools. We know it's illogical. Everyone, it takes 5 seconds to see that it's illogical. It's absurd. But we pretend because in that pretending, we are sharing the values of the dominant tribe. It makes us feel safe. Now, here's the good news. In a modern capitalist society, you don't need tribal acceptance anymore. It doesn't matter if everyone on Earth hates you. If you have a skill or a product that you can sell, and that skill could be anything from the ability to do heart surgery to the ability to show up on time, if you have something like that, it doesn't matter if you're rejected by the tribe. It doesn't make any difference at all. Not one drop. You're free. But that psychological compulsion is still there. Public schooling is the American religion. Of all the things that I talk about, the thing that angers and frightens and terrifies libertarians the most is when I talk about abolishing public schools. The reason is simple. I know I have that belief, most libertarians have that belief, They don't say anything about it. You know why? Don't want to be rejected from by the tribe. Psychologically, most probably not even aware of it. Psychologically, they don't want to be rejected by the tribe, and they know when I go out there as vice chair and say that we need to abolish government schools, which is the basic tenet of any kind of libertarianism, that I'm now letting everyone in the world who's who knows that that person is a libertarian believe that that person wants to abolish government schools. And you know what? He probably does. He's just afraid. Not afraid specifically, as a phobia, an irrational fear. Every single day I get many, many, many angry letters or Facebook messages or Facebook posts or whatever, emails that attack me for attacking government schools. And a lot of them don't even disagree. A lot of them don't even disagree. They say, listen, I want to get rid of government schools. They don't want it to be noticeable, though. They want to be able to oppose it in secret. Like back in the olden days when Christians would practice their religion in secret, they want to be able to do that. They say, we got to practice our libertarianism in secret. No, we don't. The dominant tribe can't do anything to us. Not for having a different idea. Whatever they could do, they're already doing. They're forcing us to pay for their stupid schools. What else are they going to do? By opposing it, yeah, it's going to make them upset. Maybe somebody won't want to go out with you. If that is your issue, then I recommend using something like P90X or something and get in better shape. And then, as it turns out, people just don't care that much. Maybe somebody won't want to be friends with you. Get some more hobbies. Get some more interests. Expand your social circle. Meet more people who hate government schools. I'll tell you a place to start. Think about the 2 million a year homeschoolers. That's per year, 2 million. Think about the 5 million a year private schoolers per year. Now, maybe you're a lot more popular than I am, or maybe you have much higher demands of what you need in friends, but I feel that for most of us, 5 million friends, that should probably be enough. And 7 million friends should be enough, and 7 million friends a year should be more than enough. If you need more than that, well, I don't know how to help you. That sounds like an almost unhealthy need at that point. If 7 million friends is not enough friends for you, and I don't know how to help you. That fear, that tribal acceptance, that saying, I want the tribe to accept me, you don't need it. Who cares? I mean, if you want to talk about political, folks who go around annoying people in the Libertarian Party, the person who does it the most is probably me. And you know how it's affected me? None. The only person who does it more than me that I know of is Trump. He's the president. You don't need tribal acceptance. You know what's going to happen? Some of your friends at work will say, hey, I hear you oppose government schools. And you're going to say, like, yeah, I do. And they're more afraid of you than you are of them. They'll say, like, okay, that's what's going to happen. That's the full extent of it. Now, maybe that's a little too much for you to handle, but that's the price for living in a free society or a free-ish society. You do have to take responsibility. You have a responsibility to fight for the ideas that you know are right. That's why you have a conscience. That's why you have courage. Courage is there to help you overcome these kind of stupid fears. Most of the things that people are afraid of can't even hurt you. Spiders and whatnot, ghosts, all kinds of made-up stuff. The thing that can hurt you the absolute least is being rejected by the tribe in a modern capitalist society. If you want milk, a milk farmer doesn't have to like you. A milk farmer doesn't even have to meet you. You just need to have a couple bucks. If you want food, same thing. Clothing, same thing. No one has to accept you. You are free to be whoever you damn well want to be. And if you want to hang out with some other people who are discovering how freeing and liberating it is to follow their values rather than the dominant tribal values of some fools they don't even agree with, then there's only one place for you to go, lp.org. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm your host, Arvind Vora, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvind Vora again next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.